So, Caleb.
Yes.
Something I wanted to talk to you about because I figured you would.
Yes, I'm positive. Yes. I've been positive since 88.
Yeah. But it's something that I'm sure that you could probably relate into this anger I have. So the other day I was ordering some Easter gifts, and I was like, well, I'm going to get something for myself. So I ordered this book in this book series.
So you're ordering gifts for people, and you're like, I was Spencer books.
Something for me too, like, you know,
because you need more books.
Yeah, it's next in this series of thriller kind of series. But I normally get like paperbacks, but like whenever I was looking at it, the hardback was like really cheap, and it was like this cool cover and everything and stuff like that. And I've been liking the series, so I was like, eventually I would probably want to go back and just get like hardbacks too, you know?
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, maybe I just get the hardback on this one and stuff, whatever. I ordered it. It comes in the mail, and I open up the box, and it's just the fucking hardback with no paper jacket, with no, you know, paper jacket on it, just the hardback.
So it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, like, if I knew that, I would have just got the paperback. Like, you know, I mean, that's if, like, somewhere in the small and the end of the details thing was, like, doesn't have an actual paper, you know, like, you know what I mean? That I just missed it, but I was like, you know, because you assume whatever picture it is on the thing when you're ordering it, that's what you're getting.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Usually.
Usually that's how that goes, but I was like, that's a little fucked up. Like, that's a little messed up, and I figured as you being one of the man of books and ordering things offline and stuff like that, like, figured you could understand my anguish and upsetness with that.
I've had quite a few book debacles. Bent.
Yeah.
Creased.
Mm-hmm.
Chipped. The grossest one.
Grossest?
Gross, because within the last year, not this current year, I guess, 2023 some point. Might fuck, probably still reading the Divine Comedy. How long were we reading that?
You're still reading
but
it.
But if you remember, at some point I ordered a bunch of Japanese novels that I just didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a bunch of Natsume Soseki novels, though, because I was like, four or five, I think I didn't have yet. Maybe three or four. But one of the books, The Miner, which is his experimental one, I was really excited to get, and I got it. And it was smeared with blood.
Oh, yeah. I think I do remember you mentioning that when that first happened.
And I did not turn it, I didn't send it back. I just kept it. So I just got a bloody book.
You have to wear gloves when you read that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely blood. You could tell, like, somebody cut their hand and just was packaging shit and just kept, gusher, that's fine. Like, ew. That's probably the worst I've gotten was blood.
Book. Yeah, I guess I maybe can't complain anymore. I just didn't have a paper jacket on. Dust jacket, and you had blood on yours.
It was a paperback with blood. I feel like I've had a couple, though, where I bought expensive books and they were, like, bent, or if it's a hardback, there was like a tear in the dust jacket or just something that something to piss you off.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it, this thing wasn't cheap. But for the most part, the blood was the worst.
Yeah.
I started to read it. Like, I read the first page, but the blood. I was like, yeah, I don't
know. What is it?
I just kept thinking about the blood the whole time.
The blood. The blood.
Yeah, honestly, I should have just sent it back.
Yeah, you probably should have.
Like, for reason. Right, you're returning this blood.
I bet they get back to you quick.
Like, what's wrong with your book? There's blood on it. Is it your own blood? No, it's not. It's
somebody else's blood.
I don't know what kind of blood.
Ugh.
There's three kinds of blood it could be. Well, most likely cases of the blood.
Okay.
The first one, nosebleed. Fucking gross.
Okay, yeah.
Two, cut finger. Yeah. Not as gross, but still gross. And number three, you know what it is.
No, I don't care. I'm going to need you to tell me what it is.
Look, as a man, you only do a number one and you do a number two, but women do a number three. And that's the number that is on that book. We'll be back after these messages from our sponsors. Vaginosis, the new tampon. It sticks up there and it turns sideways. Jam the clam.
That would be my
slogan if I had a tampon. Jam the clam. listening to the Drunken Penwriting Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb James. With me today, Spencer of the Roanoke Rimmer Church.
I didn't think I'd use that one before, have I?
Son of a bitch.
Is that gross? I think Roanoke's still a real place.
Today, we are talking about 10 pulp crime authors recommended by who? Stephen King. Stephen the Dream King. This is from crimereads.com. There's no author to this article, so I don't feel bad about
taking it.
Well, again, it's Stephen King's recommendations that they just stole and slapped into an article, so I don't feel too bad about that. Stephen King, though, is the master of horror, and he's also a big crime reader. Did you know?
I didn't know that.
Oh. Well, I guess you knew, then I knew, and then we could just stop. Ooh, in no order, Spencer. It doesn't say number one. The first one on the list, Ariel S. Winter. Familiar? Know her work? Read her?
No.
The book they have on display is The 20-Year Death. It's an old school pulp crime cover. Imagine a lot of these will be that.
I think they're all hard case crimes, I think.
Yeah. Apparently, first novelist Winter, stunned reader. The way that says. So, Ariel Winter's debut novel came in at a mammoth, that's the word they use, mammoth, 180,000 words. That was her debut.
Chunky book.
The 20-Year Death tells the story of a disintegrating marriage as told successively in the manner of Georgia Simenon. That's an author. It's told in the manner of Georgia Simenon, Raymond Chandler, and Jim Thompson. Stephen King called it bold. Ooh. Innovative and thrilling.
Thrilling.
And the boy crackles with suspense and will keep you up late at night. So, yeah. Next up is Donald E. Westlake. You familiar with Donald E. Westlake?
No.
They got a cover of Brother's Keeper. It's got a half-naked lady on the cover.
Woohoo!
A book by this guy is a cause for happiness, King wrote about the man who, under the pseudonym Richard Stark, Dick Stark, wrote the Dark as Dark Gets Parker novels and inspired the name of the murderous pseudonym come to life, George Stark, in King's book, The Dark Half. Under his real name, Westlake wrote some of the funniest comedies in the crime genre. Hard Case Crime has published both his Dark Half and his life. I have not read too many of the Hard Case Crimes. I've read like maybe 3 or 4 books.
Yeah, but the couple that I have read have been good, though.
Yeah. Yes, they have been. Next up is Scott Von Doviak. You know Doviak?
I'm not familiar with
it. You're saying it like you know it. I'm wondering if you're going to know any of these.
I know one of them.
Okay.
When we were looking, because we read one of the books on this list.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we had. I didn't read this list at all. I didn't look through it. Literally saw the title. And just sent it to you.
I'm professional.
Yeah. So they got Charles Gate Confidential. I'm not saying words right today. Another first novelist who pulled off a stunning trifecta. A tri-fucking-fecta.
That's three people.
That's stunning. Von Doviak's Charles Gate Confidential. I can't say confidential today. Von Doviak's Charles Gate Confidential tells a braided crime story set in three time periods. 1946, 1986, and the present. All centered around a single building in Boston that went from being a hangout for gangsters to a college dorm, to a ritzy condominium with secrets in the walls.
Ooh, secrets.
Stephen King wrote, Charles Gate Confidential is terrific.
That was a great recommendation there, thank you, Steve King. I'm going to read that book.
I think they just like saw Stephen King gave blurbs to like these books and was like, let's just put them together.
It's terrific. Whoa. Fucking spectacular. I'm going to read that. Joyce Carol Oates. You know Joyce Carol Oates? I swear to God. I'll stab you in the neck. Come on.
I'm a fan of her cereal. Not really, though.
She's one of the most celebrated American authors. Spencer, you fucking Claude. Mm. You Claude.
Claude.
One of the most acclaimed literary authors of the past century, Joyce Carol Oates has a parallel career under her own name and as Rosamond Smith. As an author of crime fiction. That's what she reads under crime fiction. That's why you didn't hear about her crime side or apparently her regular side because you're a fucking bum.
A clod, I think he said.
A clod. We could be a bum too. Stephen King writes, Miss Oates knows exactly what she is doing and why she is doing it. That's a fucking cool endorsement, goddamn.
Yep. Yep.
I have more stories to tell, she writes in her journals, and more novels. I'm glad of that because I want to read them. That's what she said. Or maybe that's what he said. I don't know who said what. I'm lost. In 2019, the 50th anniversary of Charles Manson's notorious killing spree, Hard Case Crime brought out the first new edition in decades of Oates' Manson-inspired novel, The Triumph of the Spider Monkey. I didn't know she actually wrote crime fiction.
No?
I never read anything of hers.
But you knew who she was.
I know who she was. She has a master class, I think. Next up is Evan Hunter, which he writes under the Ed McBain, I believe.
That's the one
we read.
Yeah.
We read The Gutter and the Grave, which was excellent. For the crime in noir. And dare I say, crime noir? I think Evan Hunter, known by that name or as Ed McBain, was one of the most influential writers of the post-war generation, writes King. He was the first writer to successfully merge realism with genre fiction, and by so doing, I think he may actually have created the kind of popular fiction that drove the bestseller list and lit up the American imagination in the years 1960 to 2000. Books as disparate as The New Centurions, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, The Godfather, Black Sunday, and The Shining all owe a debt to Evan Hunter, who taught a whole generation of baby boomers how to write stories that were not only entertaining, but that truthfully reflected the times and culture. He will be remembered for bringing the so-called police procedural into the modern age, but he did so much more than that, and he was one hell of a nice man. So that was actually a glowing endorsement.
Yeah.
That seems to be the guy that more than terrific.
Yeah.
Hard Case Crime has published three McBain titles, The Gutter and the Grave, which we read, Cut Me In, and So Nude, So Dead.
I've actually seen that book at the comic book store. Colin had, because Colin has like some novels and stuff you can get, you know, too.
I like when you get the few like novels that are crossover and can be in a comic shop and it doesn't, you know, it fits in. It doesn't it doesn't stand out as odd. Next up is John Ferris, a wonder kind who'd published his first novel by his 20th birthday and his first bestseller by his 23rd.
Asshole.
Yeah, fucking dickhead. Ferris became best known for supernatural thrillers, in particular, The Fury, but began his career writing paperback crime fiction of the hard case crime variety, such as Baby Mole. When he turns it on, King wrote, nobody does it better. Generic. Yeah, a lot of people probably do it better. Some people.
Yeah, probably.
Next up, James M. Cain, the world-famous author of Double Indemnity. Indemnity? Is that the word?
Indemnity? You need me to unplug you and then plug you back in?
Indemnity? The world-famous author of Double Indemnity, Mildred... Everybody said it wrong 10 times in a row. Mildred Pierce and The Postman Always Rings Twice. I've heard of that one. Had written a final novel, The Cocktail Waitress, just before his death. Ghastly death. I don't know if it was
mysterious death.
Bloody. But it took 40 years and a lot of sleuthing by Hard Case Crime before it was discovered and published. So 40 years before that book came out. On that occasion, King wrote Stephen King.
It's great.
Terrific. Stephen King wrote, here, long after anyone would have expected it, is the voice of James M. Cain, as fresh and as relevant as ever. The Cocktail Waitress will involve you and then shock you with an ending you'll never forget. This is a true rarity, a reader's novel that's also a literary event.
Also, surprisingly, not as racist as you would think.
Not even close. This is surprising, though. Ray Bradbury comes up on the list.
Oh, yeah?
In honor of what would have been his 100th birthday, Hard Case Crime published Killer, Come Back to Me, a brand new collection of the master's crime fiction, less well known than his trademark fantasy, but just as unforgettable. I hope I'll have to check that out, actually, at some point. 20 years from now. At the time of his death, King wrote, Ray Bradbury wrote three great novels and 300 great stories. One of the latter was called A Sound of Thunder. The sound I hear today is the thunder of a giant's footsteps fading away. Oh, what a fucking asshole being writing all eloquent and cool.
Just for a fucking
blurb.
Yeah.
But the novels and stories remain in all their resonance and strange beauty. Fucking giant's footsteps fade. Shut up.
Doesn't that make you mad that just in a fucking blurb, Stephen King can write something better than something like than you can spend a whole like fucking page trying to write?
Listen, you stop yammering because I got a lady with a knife in her butt crack.
That's a stinky knife.
Ooh, if you get stabbed, you'll get the sepsis.
This, if you don't die from the stab, then you die from the sepsis.
This is a Lawrence Block book. Getting off, and it's got a lady with a knife in her butt crack. I wish I could describe that better.
But that's what it is. I say that should be the
picture for that.
Yeah, yeah, for the thumbnail picture.
There is only one writer of mystery and detective fiction who comes close to replacing the irreplaceable John D. MacDonald, wrote King. The writer is Lawrence Block. Block authored Hard Case Crime's very first book, Grifter's Game. It's a good title.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, its first original hardcover novel, Getting Off. Ten other...
Don't do that.
Family show. Don't fucking do that shit. It's revolting. Put your pants back on.
It's too late.
Sick. Everything's all sticky now. This is why in the update episode, you were the fucking semen steamer. And this is why today you're the Roanoke Rimmer.
I just wonder, like, is do I have just like an iron, like, or is it like in a like a it's like a whole bunch like in a on a hot plate, like
I don't know, it's like Stanley steamers instead of steaming your clothes though with like hot water, it's something else steaming. Man, fluid. 10 other novels and a short story collection round out his contribution to the line and make him one of Hard Case Crime's most popular authors. Lawrence Block's novels combine clarity, simplicity, honesty, and vividness to create nearly seamless entertainments. Not one entertainment, multiple entertainments. The story seems to simply appear as a dove seems to simply appear when a good magician opens his hands. Shut up, Stephen King, why are you writing like this? But the one was terrific. That book's not terrific. I can tell. He's writing this about this stuff, and then the one's just terrific. Next up is Charles Ardai, Hard Case Crime founder and editor. Charles Ardai, well, that's a fake. Come on, he's the founder. Of course they're going to include him.
Maybe he's just a really good writer, too.
He could be. I don't know. I don't know the guy. Charles Ardai is also an award-winning... Shut up, Spencer.
Why is there such a delay?
I really should read these before I fucking open my big mouth. Charles Ardai is also an award-winning writer, having taken home the Seamus Award for his novel Songs of Innocence and the Edgar Award for Best Short Story for The Homefront. A very smart and very cool fellow, King has called him, and a true Renaissance man, and a master of the short story. He spent more time editing than writing over the past decade, but his Hard Case Crime novels remain a highlight of the line. And then last, they just don't even say anything. They just have a picture of Stephen King's later.
Yeah.
So, poopy, garbage, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I think it was Ashley hated it, but I thought it was okay.
I'm going to have to try to save that link because it probably would be, some of those did seem pretty good. Like,
yeah, I want to check out the Ray Bradbury stuff because I didn't even know he wrote Crime. Right. So that'd be cool. I didn't know Joyce Carol Oates wrote Crime either under a pseudonym. So that's neat. I'm going to look up this list for you, Spencer.
What list?
Since we're only 20 minutes into this episode.
Okay.
At least got to kill 10 more minutes.
Yeah, we can't have an episode that's not longer than the update.
Yeah. Let's see. What is a good thing that people talk about on Literature Podcast about the pulp era of 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950, 19... I'm just going to keep talking until infinity. Mm-hmm. Is that the word I kept saying? Wow, 200 books? No, that's too big. New pulp fictioneers are ready to rock and roll, says 2012. I guess they all died off. Reading. Oh, yeah, because Philip K. Dick and Harlan Ellison are real new. Stupid internet. Here we go. This is interesting.
All right.
This is from our friends over at The Airship.
Okay.
It's good. TheAirship.com. Actually, it's Airship Daily.
Alrighty.
You know, one of these days I'm going to fucking do one of these. Oh, go to the Airship Daily. And it turns out it's like a fucking alt-right Nazi website or something that also likes literature.
Oopsies.
Oopsie daisy. No, 10 great novels that were originally published as pulp.
Mm.
So these were pulp novels, but they got rebranded as something higher, more flutant, better. Let's find out. I'm not going to read anything but the titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number one, Tarzan of the Apes.
I do want to...
It's a Meg Rice Burroughs.
Yeah, like, not necessarily that. Like, I would try that out, but, like, I've been really wanting to see what you've been thinking about, maybe trying to read some of, like, the...
John Carter of Mars?
Yeah, and stuff like that, yeah.
I thought I had a... You know what? I don't think I ever bought the collection, but I was going to, and then they just stopped selling them at Barnes & Noble.
Honestly, I think a while ago, I saw, like, a decent, like, ebook collection that had, like, everything.
Yeah. So, Tarzan was actually a serialized thing in 1912, 1913 editions of All Story Magazine, and then eventually it became... You
know, yeah.
A Princess of Mars. That's another Burroughs. I had never read The Princess of Mars. Is that in the world of John Carter, maybe?
I would think so.
Disney took this one.
Mm.
Never heard of this one. It must be... oh, yeah, it is a... wait a minute.
Caleb's reading, trying to decipher words.
It's not working.
No.
But, yeah, it does mention John Carter, so maybe it's in that world. Number three, The Thin Man by Dashiell Hammett. I always heard of Dashiell Hammett, never read anything by Dashiell Hammett. It's a detective story, Spencer.
Oh.
Published in the pages of Red Book in 1934. Then it got better known, far better known, for launching the canon of Nick and Nora Charles, the attractive crime-solving newlyweds who graced every medium from novels and radio to television and Broadway. Still never heard of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I should have heard of this one because I have heard of this one.
I'm not on drugs. I'm just tired. My brain is hurt.
Number four, The Maltese Falcon, also by Dashiell Hammett. That's my new Dashiell Hammett. Did I read The Maltese Falcon? I know when I went through a noir phase a year or two ago, I watched the movie. I don't think I ever got around to reading the novel, but I was going to.
I always hear stuff about it, but I'm not even sure I really know what it, like, what it's about. You know, I've just always heard, like, it brought
Maltese
up.
Falcon gets stolen and detective got to solve it, you know. That was originally published in Black Mask magazine in 1930, which used to publish all the cool shit.
Yeah. I mean, with a name like Black Mask, I mean.
Well, it's come back around again in comics.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I don't know if it's related or if it's a, you know, homage. I'm not sure. But yeah, obviously Maltese Falcon with the Sam Spade was like the big detective besides Philip Morrow from Chandler.
Yeah.
Sam Spade was the other one. I think he actually might have came out before Marlowe, if I'm correct. I think he's more racist or not as racist. One of the two. Don't quote me on either thing. But those became, you know, popular books. Rum Punch is number five. That is by your favorite writer, Elmore Leonard.
Mm.
You know Elmore Leonard?
No, but I like the name Rum Punch.
The man behind AMC's Justified.
Oh.
You know Justified?
Yeah.
I don't. So.
Yeah, I actually, I bought his, I bought Prime something, or it's one of his, like, crime novels that's not, like, a Justified thing, but it's, like, another.
Well, if you don't know Rum Punch, you might better know it as what it was adapted to, which was Quentin Tarantino's 1997 crime drama, Jackie Brown.
Hmm.
So. It's interesting. Did not know that. Number six. This is interesting because this is actually a new edition. So I don't know why it would be considered pulp just because I don't think pulp necessarily exists because it's not. Pulp was things published in pulp magazines. Mm. So I don't know. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Are you waiting?
I'm waiting.
Is your minute being waited? Pulp isn't just limited to American writing.
Oh,
God, I'm coming. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Swedish crime writer Stieg Larsson's 2005 global bestseller swept across the Atlantic and captured minds with adrenaline pumping twists and turns on par with the best American pulp masters.
That didn't explain it. It didn't fucking explain it.
Yeah, because that's not very pulpy, is it? Like the story itself, right?
Yeah, that's like kind of. I don't know. I don't think it's pulp. I don't think it fits the genre.
I thought it was more like, you know, like thriller, like action kind of stuff, right?
I think people just want to add stuff where it don't need to be goddamn added.
They just want to throw a lady in.
Stieg Larsson isn't a lady, is he?
But like a lady character, though.
I guess, yeah.
You look like a badass lady character.
Was there no lady characters in Jurassic Park, which is number seven on the list?
What?
Michael Crichton's piece, De Resistance, launched one of the most beloved movie franchises of all time.
How's that pulp?
You don't, the original book. Little do people know
okay.
that before the world famous Dino Thriller, Crichton wrote pulp novels of the pulpiest variety, and any close reading of Jurassic Park illuminates just how fluidly, the style bled over. Fluidly, not fondly.
Fluid.
Didn't actually say that Jurassic Park itself was a pulp. Yeah. I think they're just reaching now.
Though, side note, I think Jurassic Park, like, I would be interested to read that. I heard, the book is, a little bit more violent and stuff, with the dinosaurs, eating people and stuff like that.
Yeah, just don't go to the island. You'll be all right. Except for the flying dinosaurs could leave the island, probably. Yeah. Are you a big John Grisham fan?
I haven't read any of his stuff.
So, no.
But I have seen some of the movies, you know. I just haven't got... I want to, it's just, you know...
Was one of those movies. Number 9, The Pelican Brief?
No.
Okay. John Grisham is unarguably the master of modern pulp. The Pelican Brief, possibly his most popular work, is the perfect specimen of the kind of legal suspense It's the combination of suspense and thriller makes suspense.
Why don't you have anything to drink?
I don't know. I'm very gummy. The perfect specimen of the kind of legal suspense thriller.
Woo.
He is best known for the assassination of rival Supreme Court justices, muckraking journalists, a street-smart Southern lady lawyer. The Pelican Brief flourishes. I don't give a fuck, okay? Is it pulp? It says it reads like fine piece of pulp. That's not pulp. This is a stupid list. Whoever wrote this list is a jackass. The first half, I give it to you. The second half, it's shit in the bed. You can't have modern pulp because pulp doesn't exist. There aren't pulp magazines. And if there are, then I guess there are, but they're not popular.
But I mean, can you write like a pulp style story though, right?
Number 9, The Runaway Jury. I don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could write a pulp. You could write anything. You could just do whatever you want now, apparently. You could be a fucking Swedish asshole and write a book about a dragon lady, and boom, you're number one.
But that's not pulp, though.
Oh, it is on this list. Another Grisham work, and my personal favorite. Not my personal favorite, this guy's personal favorite. I didn't write the list. I'm just stealing it. The Runaway Jury was adapted into a 2003 gun control drama starring John Cusack, Gene Hackman, Dustin Hoffman, and a bunch of other olds, all right?
A bunch of olds.
In the book, Grisham takes on the tobacco lobby, not the gun lobby. Ooh. That's a little cooler, right? But that doesn't mean it's lacking in a signature fast pace and sharp turns. Is there shooting? Is there shooting in it?
Probably a lot of talking.
Nick Easter infiltrates the jury deciding on the case of Celeste Wood versus cigarette magnate Wendell Roll. I don't care about it. Okay, this one might upset you.
Okay.
Can you guess what number 10 is?
No.
Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk as a great pulp novel. No, wait. Yep, I'm going there, says the author of this.
Okay.
Finally worded journal entry.
Let's follow him there then.
Chuck Palahniuk writes pulp.
Yeah, okay.
The first person narration of an anonymous protagonist, the noir-esque backdrop, the anarchist cult subplot, Fight Club, is pulp, indisputably. And like I said, that's okay. And then it ends with, the term pulp fiction was coined to describe afterthought books cobbled together by publishers looking to use excess material, so nothing on this fucking list, i.e. paper pulp, and that serves as a pretty apt metaphor for the whole genre. Pulp isn't natural, it's processed, it's generic, and at first glance, it's not altogether attractive, but its origins are organic. And upon further consideration, we find it's weirdly fundamental. After all, you can't make paper without pulp. And you can't publish highbrow literary fiction without a stable of high-selling Grishams and Larsons to pay the bills. So I will give it to the original actual pulp stories that got turned into novels as pulp. But that latter half of that article, I would say, was boo-hiss dookie honky.
Real quick, I would say, the two kind of... Either for something to either be pulp, I would think it would have to be published in that pulp style of serialized long, you know what I mean? Or you're writing stories taking place like within like those time periods, like, you know, of when like a lot of those popular like pulp stories, you know, like the dime detective stories, like that kind of stuff, like, you know what I mean?
If I'm going by that guy's random criteria, why isn't Jaws pulp? Why isn't Ian Fleming's spy thrillers starring 007's James Bond? Just
like anything like popular almost.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. I don't like it. I don't like when I read things that I disagree with. And I don't like when I read things that I do agree with, because then I want counter argument.
Yeah.
I just don't like things. I don't like things, Spencer.
Stuff pisses me off.
Everything makes me mad, and what doesn't make me mad makes me angry. There's a difference, and you'll know. I don't know what I'm talking about. What am I? What are we doing? What is this?
I don't know. How much time we have on it?
7 minutes. We got seven minutes recorded.
That'd be fucking terrible. This is a nightmare gonna end. We're in the fucking studio and it's getting hot.
We have to do another update.
No, I think this episode was fine. Just fine.
It was fine.
If you folks like this kind of episode, don't get fucking used to it. Spencer can't handle it.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Had a long weekend.
Yeah?
Oh, my thumb.
Hello, holiday
look at
weekend.
My thumb.
Why isn't that a bed in it? Why is your thumb so straight?
Ow, I can't undo it.
Oh, go back. Oh, shit.
No, come on.
I think that was from picking up those plates at the gym or trying to. Got cramped up.
Ooh, it left an indent.
Yeah, that's why your hands all cramped up.
Shut up. I don't even. So, Spencer, when are you going to write the next pulp thriller?
Tomorrow.
I think the idea of pulp stories is making a comeback, though, because there's a lot of little magazines and anthologies dedicated to pulp stuff. It's just weird. Well, you can just the whole crime, you know, hard case crime publisher. But I do think it's weird, though, when you're aware that you're writing pulp, you know? I don't know. Is that too meta or does that make it not real? Because like the original pulp writers, they weren't aware that they were writing pulp fiction necessarily. They were just writing stories
well,
in the genres.
Because what? I wonder how late, like when did that term come about?
I don't know.
Like, you know, like
December 1st, 1923.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
But you know what I mean? Like how far, like after like those stories were being written, like, you know what I mean?
Well, like, there's every year in...
Because, like you were saying, they were just writing...
Stories.
Yeah, like, weekly stories or whatever, monthly stories or whatever it is.
Because, like, the pulp stuff, too, I mean, for some reason, most of it's always considered crime stories when we see these lists. But, like, most pulp stuff was, like, weird tales and eerie...
Sci-fi
yeah, like
stuff
just,
like that.
Basically just genre fiction at the time. Anything outside of the literary norms was just considered pulp because it was published in magazines. Mm-hmm. So my question is, like, there's those, like, even around here every year, there's those conventions, like, oh, pulp convention, and it's just people selling all kinds of pulp stuff, and then that's when you see, oh, there's new pulp magazines out. But again, everyone that's writing for that is like, oh, I'm going to write a pulp story, and it's going to be hammy and fun and whatever. And it's almost like, yeah, the pulp is the genre, not the crime, sci-fi, weird cosmic horror. Like, it's not that that's not the genre anymore. It's just the actual style of telling the story as a pulp, quote-unquote, story. I think that's strange.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know. I guess that would be like, instead of just writing fantasy, you're going to be like, I have to write a Tolkien fantasy, and then you're like specifically writing a Lord of the Rings-style story. It's almost become its own genre within the genre. Or is it the heading genre and everything else is a subgenre of the heading genre? I don't like that. I don't like any of it.
Yeah.
You know what I do like?
That the episode over?
Yes. If you like this episode, let us know in the comments. Do we have comments? I don't know. Maybe. Probably. Somewhere. Yeah. Give us a review on something. Are we? We're still on iTunes. Give us a give us 4.5 stars. Can you do that? Is that possible? Is there a 4.5 button?
I don't know how high it goes.
If it if you're going to do whole stars, do 4 stars and then squiggle in a half a 5. With a highlighter.
They can tell.
And take a picture.
They can tell.
Send it to us on fuckbook.myspace.com/.org. It's not org. Speaking of orgs, if you want to see Spencer's OnlyFans this week, he is the Roanoke Rimmer, the Roanoke Rimmer, the Rimmer of Roanoke. He goes down to Roanoke and he rims. What is he rimming? He's rimming things.
Well, I don't have to necessarily be the Rimmer.
You're the Roanoke Rimmer.
Yeah. So I could just be making, what about if I'm forcing other people to do the rimming?
No. So now you're a forcing. Yeah. You're forcing.
Oh, like I wasn't forcing before?
Wow. So if you want to catch Spencer's OnlyFans, you better do it quick because he's going to be in the slammer soon. The clink, the hooscow, the other words for jail because he is forcing people to rim. You can also check out my website, CaleBJamesK.com, where there's minimal rimming. You can just check out my publication.
Just enough
to get you by. You can check out my publication history on there. I will have links to the things I've mentioned just in the past. Just enough to
make it go, ooh,
or ooh. Mm. And also, if you want to follow us at DPW Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube. Jewish YouTube, as always. We thank you for listening, and stay classy, stay rimmin'.